Who can tell me what we do with part of this Christmas tree when we take it down? Yes, Robert. We put daffodils on it. When do we do that? At Easter, yes. So what do we make with the bits of the Christmas tree? We make a cross. That's right. Why do we make a cross? Somebody else can answer this. Robert's hand's going up like a shot. Yes, Olaf. Sorry, because Jesus died on the cross. And we put that cross up in the church right through Lent. That's the 6 weeks leading up to Easter to remind us that Christmas was just the beginning. And having looked at... Oh, we have got the lights on it. I thought the lights weren't on, but they are. I was going to say that I'd been deficient, but somebody has got ahead of me and put the lights on. Christmas is only the beginning. You can see that the story that we went through there, that a lot happened at Christmas and soon afterwards, and God was involved at every stage. But we can lose ourselves in lovely images of stables and animals and not think much further. And John was reminding us the other week that the stable would be dark and smelly and dirty. And Mary and Joseph had had a three-day walk, and Mary had just had a baby, and the shepherds were probably smelly and dirty too. And yet we stick to our favorite Christmas card images and our favorite songs, which give us idealized pictures, tell us that Jesus didn't cry and that Jesus was meek and mild and gentle and so on. And yet that baby survived real terrible dangers and evil men because of God's guiding hand. We don't know very much about Jesus growing up, and it's only Luke who tells us anything at all. Luke tells us that when Joseph and Mary returned to Nazareth, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I'm quite glad that Luke then tells us a little story which reminds us that Jesus was in some ways just a typical boy and in other ways was somebody really special. Today's reading can be found on page 1029 of the Pew Bibles, 1029. And we're reading from Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Amen. Thanks be to God. How many mums and dads here have lost a child at some point? Yes, it's awful, I'm sure. Mary and Joseph found the child quite absorbed in something else, totally unaware that he was giving his parents any sort of anxiety. And I'm sure that's just the same. You find a child perfectly happy, and you've been in a panic for quite a few minutes, or in this case, days, looking for him. And then the children get a row for causing such worry and try to justify what they were doing. And Jesus was no different. He'd been in Jerusalem with his parents to celebrate the Passover. Good Jews tried to go to the temple at least once a year to one of the festivals. And Mary and Joseph went every year for the Passover. In 1 year's time, when he was 13, Jesus would become a full member of the synagogue. So this visit might have been to prepare him for that, although he might well have gone with Mary and Joseph every year. And he certainly kept up the habit, because we know that he celebrated the Passover in Jerusalem with his disciples just before his death. It was about 3 days' travel from Nazareth to Jerusalem. They would go in a group because that was safer, and of course it was more pleasant. And the women and the younger children would go on ahead, and the men and the older children would follow. So it looks as though Mary thought Jesus was with Joseph, and Joseph thought Jesus was with Mary. And you can imagine their feelings when they realized that he'd been left behind. And the time it took to get back to Jerusalem and to retrace their steps. He was in a very public place when they found him, sitting among the teachers in the temple courts, soaking up what they were saying, asking questions, like any other student of the Jewish faith. And he got the rebuke from his mother. "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And she gets what always seems to me to be quite a sharp reply. "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" So Jesus was picking up on Mary's words. Mary said, "Your father and I have been searching," meaning Joseph. And he was making it clear that he has another father whose demands on him must be obeyed, a father with a higher authority. It says that Mary and Joseph didn't understand what Jesus was saying to them. But then it says, his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And this echoes the words after the shepherd's visit. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary was getting more and more reason to ponder just who her son was and just who he was going to grow up to be. In the temple when he was 8 days old, she'd heard what Simeon and Anna felt about this child. And at the time, Simeon had said that a sword would pierce her soul. And perhaps this little incident with Jesus at 12 was the first indication of this, that Jesus would feel the call of a higher authority, his heavenly Father, and that Mary and Joseph would have to take second place. I feel a bit for Mary when Jesus says this to her. You feel it must have jolted her, made her think just who this child was. It reminds me of a later incident when Jesus started his ministry and Mary and his brothers came to see him. Somebody told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." And he replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Another jolt, another something to make Mary think. Jesus at that point was following God's plan for his ministry. He was not to be deflected. But you feel for Mary, who was probably by then feeling a bit of a divided family because some of the brothers we know didn't really follow Jesus. How much did Mary really understand in those early stages? Did she remember what the angel had told her when he told her that she was to have a baby? Did she have any idea what it meant to be the mother of God's Messiah? We're going to think about Mary now as we sing, "Mary, Did You Know?" We'll just stay seated for this one. We wonder how much Mary and Joseph understood about the situation. But perhaps the most interesting bit of this little story is Jesus himself. Is this the day that he discovered who he was? Did he have a Kairos moment when Mary said that she and his father had been looking for him? Did he suddenly see that the pull that he felt to be in the temple learning about God was a pull like no other? That he had a father in heaven who required him to be there. And yet, after all that, he went back to Nazareth and he was obedient to Mary and Joseph. Being God's son didn't prevent him being a good son to Mary and Joseph. And we learn that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus was able to develop as the Son of God at the same time as he developed as the carpenter's son at Nazareth. He fulfills everything God's asking him to do as a youngster, to learn and to grow in his faith. And he fulfills everything his earthly parents expect him to do, to be obedient, to grow into a son they can be proud of. Jesus belonged to an ordinary family. He was part of their lives. And they were part of the world he'd come to save. They were some of the ordinary people living ordinary lives who were the people that he came for. And his upbringing there in that ordinary family prepared him for his ministry. Jesus has a clear sense of duty to God to find out all he can about him. But God is not asking him to do anything else at this time. And so he waits. He waits for the call to go further. And he continues with his normal day-to-day life. I think we can learn from both Mary and from Jesus in this story. From Mary, I think we can learn the importance of staying close to God, of trusting him, and of finding things to treasure and to ponder in our hearts. From all the bits of the Christmas story that we went through, that there were indications of the constant presence of God for ordinary people. whether it's angels watching over Mary and Joseph and that baby, or the rough shepherds being the first to see the Messiah, or the wise men, people beyond the Jewish circle, being drawn to find a new king, or Simeon and Anna trusting in God's promises and finding them to be fulfilled before their eyes. Any part of that story tells us wonderful things about God wanting to send somebody for our salvation, to bring us light and life, something to treasure in our hearts, something to ponder, something to hold on to. We might not fully understand it any more than Mary and Joseph did. But then it's often called the mystery of the incarnation, the mystery of God sending Jesus to earth for us. And in that mystery, there's so much for us to treasure, to hold on to as we go through our lives. From Jesus, the 12-year-old Jesus, we can learn several things. And just that fact teaches us the importance of young people, how they can help our faith with their own special insight. Jesus said during his ministry that we needed to be like children to enter the kingdom of heaven. They have that special trust and acceptance. And we need to rejoice in that and learn from it. Firstly, from Jesus. Jesus knows the importance of getting his personal priorities right. He didn't really have a problem with being in the temple. I had to be in my Father's house. There was no doubt about it. He knew it was God's will that he was there. And all through his life, he had an ability to focus on God's will for him and to act accordingly. Here are the beginnings of that focus. Jesus knew that if God came first, then everything else would fall into place. What a lesson that is for us as we go through life. At whatever stage we are, that if God is at the center, taking priority, then everything else will fall into place. At Jesus' age, God's priority for him was to learn, to grow in the wisdom of God. And this is what he was doing at this time of opportunity when he was in Jerusalem. He knew it was the right place for him to be, in the place where there was teaching and worship. Nazareth wouldn't be crowded out with the best teachers. It was a small provincial town. Jesus knew that Jerusalem had the good teachers. This is where he should be. And yet, for all this, Jesus was totally grounded in his own family. He lived obediently with his earthly parents. Being God's son didn't detach him from the world that he was in. And being people of God doesn't detach us from the world that we're in. We're called to be Christians where we are. That's why we're having this special series in January, which looks at the meaning of words we hear an awful lot. What does it mean to be successful, to be just, to be faithful, to be human? How does God want us to live in this world where we are? While Jesus was so clearly God and man, we as Christians also have this dual citizenship. We've got earthly families, but we also have a heavenly Father who ask certain things of us. Jesus knew God had priority in his life, yet he was thoroughly grounded in this world. And he knew if he was to serve God, when the time came, when the call came to start his ministry, then he needed to prepare himself for that service. That's why he was learning and growing in the wisdom of God through his time in God's house, through prayer, through study, through discussion. How can we serve God in the world if we are not prepared? He's our model, the child of Bethlehem and Nazareth, who grew up to be our Saviour, our teacher, our friend. Now we're going to sing, "What Child Is This, Who Laid to Rest on Mary's Lap Is Sleeping? This is Christ the King." Let's stand.